This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June the 6th, episode 1711. This is normally jumping day with Emily Thompson, but unfortunately, Emily took a spill last week and bonked her noggin pretty good and is now recovering. But we were afraid she wouldn't remember her name this morning. Between her head injury and my Lyme, we weren't sure we could get through a show. So we are going to record a jumping episode for you a little later in the month, and we are wishing Emily a speedy recovery. Today, we thought we would share with you the last episode of the 2018 WEG show, because it was absolutely fascinating, and we took a look back at the history of the World Equestrian Games with someone who has been to every one, Diana DeRosa. Don't miss this look back in time as Diana shares her memories of each World Equestrian Games, the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you heard this episode already on the 2018 WEG show, then we'll see you tomorrow morning with the regular crew of Jamie, Jen, and I.
This is episode 10 of the 2018 WEG show on the Horse Radio Network for May the 30th. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Baits, Saddles, and Horsewear.
Welcome to the 2018 WEG Show, your home for all the news and views of the 2018 World Equestrian Games.
I'm Samantha Clark.
And I'm Glenn the Geek, and we're your hosts and guides to the 2018 World Equestrian Games. Well, today we look at the history of the World Equestrian Games through the years back to 1990 with someone that has been to every one. So we're going to get right to it today. We have a full show planned for you, and I think you're going to love this look back at time.
Now for your latest WEG news.
The United States Equestrian Federation is pleased to announce the appointment of Michel Asseline as head of the Para Equestrian Coach Development and High Performance Consultant. Michel Asseline joins US Equestrian after nearly 12 years as head coach to the multi-medal winning British Para Equestrian Dressage.
We stole him.
Yeah, well, you're going to share him. Oh. He brings with him a wealth of knowledge about para equestrian dressage and dressage trainer coach development because, of course, I mean, the Brits are the best. Asseline will work hand in hand with the chef de keep Kai Hant and director of para dressage Laureen Johnson to prepare the US athletes for the 2018 Tryon World Equestrian Games. He will also be leading the development and implementation of a trainer coach development program while working closely with the para centers of excellence, delivering and running additional seminars and coaching sessions. And while we talk about those coaches of excellence, the US Equestrian Federation, in conjunction with the United States Para Equestrian Association, are excited to announce that Healing Strides of Virginia in Boones Mill, Virginia, and Wheatland Farm Equestrian Center in Purcellville, Virginia, have been named USEF USPEA National Para Equestrian Dressage Centers of Excellence. The USEF Selection Committee carefully scrutinized each application and upheld the highest standards upon recommending the facilities as COEs. They join the following network of COEs, which are Carlisle Academy in Lyman, Maine, Ride-On Therapeutic Riding Center in Chatsworth, California, and North Texas Equestrian Center in Wiley, Texas. Each COE is unique in its structure and may have opportunities independent of other COEs. These regional hubs of excellence will not only attract new riders to the sport of para equestrian dressage, but also work in partnership with the USEF high performance programs to develop athletes to a degree that they can represent the US at international and Paralympic Games level and ultimately win medals. Yay. David O'Connor has stepped down from the position of US eventing technical advisor to focus on advancing safety and global risk management in eventing. O'Connor also plans to continue working as a personal trainer to US eventing riders and will continue to chair the FEI Eventing Risk Management Steering Group. US Equestrian confirmed that detailed discussions will take place immediately to find a replacement chef to keep for Team USA ahead of the 2018 Tryon World Equestrian Games. And that's a pretty tame paragraph to describe what's been pretty big news in eventing.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, that's all anybody's talking about.
So
we
put on our Facebook page, who would you like to see replace him? And no one's answered yet, which I thought, I mean, there's a couple of people that I can off the top of my head think of, but.
I think it was kind of a surprise too, you know, to most people. Well, that's good. Thank you for the news. And we're going to head right now to one of the friends of the Horse Radio Network. And I think you're going to enjoy taking a look back in time. Diana DeRosa on with us. She's president of the American Horse Publications, a well-known reporter and photographer in the horse world. If you have been in a press tent or a press building for the last 20 years, you've seen her with 80,000 pounds of cameras wandering around. They weigh more than she does. And she's become a good friend of the Horse Radio Network, does reports from for us from all around the world at different shows. Diana, welcome to your first appearance on the 2018 WEG Show.
Thank you. It's great to always be on with you. I love talking to your listeners. And now we're going to talk about the World Equestrian Games.
Well, the reason we have Diana on is you have been to every single one, haven't you?
I've been either as a journalist, a writer and photographer, or I've also been on staff as the press liaison for a couple of them as well.
Oh, perfect. You know all the gossip. All right, good. That's perfect. So we want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly, Diana. All of it. Just lay it out there. All right. So let's start with the first WEG was in 1990. Why did WEG start? Whose idea was it, and what was the plan?
In the 1980s, the FAI president was His Royal Highness Prince Philip, and he was the one that really wanted to sort of bring all the disciplines together under one umbrella. And so that's really where it started. And it wasn't until 1990 that Stockholm was chosen to be the first one. So really, that was the force behind it.
I assume it was designed after the Olympics.
Concept. In a way, yes, but you have to remember that the Olympics is three different disciplines. And for this event, they wanted to initially group together six, and then it grew into seven and then into eight. And that became a craziness for us journalists to try to cover everything. But it's a great concept, you know, and it brings those three Olympic disciplines joined by the five now others.
Right. Right.
And I imagine, you know, you've been to all the WEGs and But I'm sure that's not exclusive. I'm sure in between you've been to the Olympics and you've been to other competitions. And there's a lot of talk about whether the WEGs have a place anymore and how difficult they are. What makes them so special? And would you miss them if they went away? And do you think we should fight to keep them?
I do think, and I've covered just about every Pan Am Games since I started covering, and I've covered the last eight Olympic Games, and every, as you know, every World Equestrian Games. And yes, there's a lot of controversy out there. In my opinion, I love the idea because there's no way that I'm going to be able to go to eight different countries to cover the different World Championships. But having it at one venue, as difficult as it is to try to get it all done, it's for me and for many of the journalists, it's a wonderful opportunity to cover eight different horse sports, you know, in one venue. But there are those that feel, and some of them are the disciplined people that feel that they should go back to the championships for the individuals, or, you know, in individual and show jumping and in dressage and what have you. They feel that it's too much for one country to do a good enough job, you know, in everything. And in some cases, they've been proven right. In other cases, they've been proven wrong. To date, I don't know that any of them have made money, but many of them have been very successful.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the first one, and let's go down through them in order and just kind of what your memories are from them and, you know, what sticks in your mind. In 1990, you went to Stockholm, Sweden, which was the first WEG, and, you know, they were at that time and still are planned to be run every 4 years, kind of opposite the Olympics. So what were your memories of Stockholm, Sweden, the grounds and the competitions?
First of all, I think the reason that Stockholm was chosen, because I think it was also in contention with Italy at that point, but I think the reason that it was chosen is because the 1912 and 1956 Olympics were held there, and it was kind of the facilities, the Olympic arena that was used at the 1956 Olympics was what they used as their sort of Olympic stadium. What I remember is it being light all the time. You know, Stockholm is a country that gets dark and gets light. So, you know, in the middle of the night, it can be bright. So it was an interesting to have that as my very first one. The people I remember were wonderful, and the competition was fabulous. It was an extremely well-run event, which sort of gave it a kickoff to doing it in, you know, continuing it into the future. I think that one of my favorite memories, and this is going to seem strange to you, is Becky Hart. Becky Hart was the endurance. She won the endurance on RD Grand Sultan. And I just remember her coming into the main arena first on that little Arabian. And that memory has always stuck in my heart. And I have this picture that I always remember, you know, having published at the time. But here we were, you know, thinking show jumping, dressage, eventing and all that. I knew very little about endurance. And here this tiny horse and this tiny person came in first. So that's one of my favorite memories. And I
she
think
was American,
one of my
right?
other...
But Becky Hart was American.
Yes, yeah. U.S. Yeah. U.S. Yeah, Becky Hart was a U.S. rider. My other favorite one is Greg Best and Jem Twist. Mm. They, you know, that who can ever forget? I often wonder why we don't see Greg Best more. I know that he's not in our country anymore, but those days in Jem Twist and Greg Best and the National Horse Show and all of that, I mean, that horse was unbelievable, owned by Frank Chapeau, and just a superstar, and had won so much leading into the event, and you wondered how they would do there. Greg did really well, but then when he got into the final four, he dropped the number of rails. He ended up fourth, so he didn't place in the medals, but Jem Twist got the honor of being the world's best horse at that competition.
Can I throw in here real quick?
Absolutely.
Greg Best was on our Horses in the Morning show back on August 19th, 2016, and it was a really, really fun interview. If you get a chance, go to Horses in the Morning and look for August 19th, 2016, and you'll find him.
You know, what I remember about the show jumping in Stockholm were the colors. Their fences had very dramatic colors, and that kind of was fun to see. And a lot of it, they played off of that main arena. Like I was saying, Becky came through that. But they did a lot of, and this is true, I think, in Olympics and World Equestrian Games, that what they do with, especially in show jumping, is mirror the fences to align with the history of the country or the landscape of the country. And they did that in Stockholm. So it was definitely a super, super well-run event. The gold was won by Germany's Nicole Uphoff, which, you know, back in that time, Germany was winning everything in dressage. And, you know, you thought you could think, when are we ever going to have a chance? Because we were significantly below that. But now when you think about the U.S. and where we're going now, it's and where Germany is. I mean, Germany's still doing well, but the competition is much deeper for them. So, and then in eventing, Blythe Tate, I mean, at that time, New Zealand, Australia, those countries were considered the eventing countries. And Blythe, he actually won twice. He won, I think it was in 2002 and this year on different horses. But Blythe Tate was the name that you heard all over the place. And Bruce Davidson, too, was another one. He had bronze that year. You remember Bruce,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's still, his son's out there, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His son's out there, nice.
That little statue at the horse park.
Oh, my God. And to see, you know, I mean, that's my memories, is seeing Bruce. I mean, it doesn't seem right to not have him competing. I realize, you know, life goes on, but he was just, you know, every event that you saw, Bruce was in there, and he was always pinning on the top. So The cross country was a tough event, and I remember seeing some, you know, one horse was in the water and down, and they had to, you know, deal with that. And that's an issue that happens. You know, there are horses that get hurt, and you hope that every horse.
Well, eventing was a little.
I remember
it was a little different back then too. It was a little more. Excuse the expression, balls to the walls. It was a little different back then.
That was long.
Go ahead, Samantha.
Go ahead.
That was the long format eventing. And I remember it was Blythe Tate on Messiah, I think.
Yeah. Right.
And wasn't
right,
it Ian Stark on Murphy himself doing that amazing sort of bounce down the hill at Stockholm? It was incredible.
Yes. And in fact, I pulled out some of my photos, and I have the picture of one of the banks that Bruce is jumping down, and it's like a rock bank, and he's, you know, going down this thing that you wouldn't want to walk down, nevertheless, yes. Jump down. So yeah, it was the cross country was definitely, you know, jump off the seat of your pants. There were lots of, you know, you looked at these jumps and you were like, oh my God. But it was a super, super event.
You know what struck me when I looked at this, Diana? This is how long ago it was. West Germany is listed. It wasn't Germany then. It was West Germany. Boy.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Isn't that something?
It wasn't until the next year.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing I want to mention before we move on to the next one was the driving. Ad Arts from the Netherlands had actually won, but he was disqualified. And it ended up going to Thomas Eriksson of Sweden because of the whole drug issues. So that was one of those things that was sort of turned over and a sad memory from that event, but still a super, super one event, well-run event. And moving on to just what you said, not only did Germany combine, there were a lot of other countries that came into play that started to then have representation at future World Equestrian Games.
And that leads us to 1994 in The Hague in the Netherlands.
Now to the freestyle dressage to music, the Cup, making his debut at World Championship level. For the USA, Robert Dover riding Devereaux. Robert from Lebanon, New Jersey. Olympic Games teams, bronze medalist in Barcelona. Devereaux, a 9-year-old Dutch bred gelding.
Oh boy.
Oh, now I can't wait.
I was on staff there, and there couldn't have been enough complaints about that event. Here's an example. Sometimes you'd have to wait for an hour and a half for transportation, and it was a nightmare. It was just, I remember arriving there because I even arrived a few days early because I was working there, and everything was not done yet. I mean, they were still putting in stadiums and you know, building different things. And even when everybody arrived, they were still constructing. So it was considered probably the worst for a country that's pretty, you know, you're talking about a very big horse country. But it was a tough one, a little easier for me because I was behind the scenes, but, it was still, I mean, there was nothing but nonstop complaints. So, you know, that was also when they introduced for dressage, they introduced the whole thing what they did. The Grand Prix was introduced for the team medals. They kind of divided the Grand Prix special and the freestyle into two different things, which they later combined into one. I think they may have even gone back and combined into one, but it was separate then because they wanted to change it to mimic it after the Olympics, knowing that the Olympics would never give out two individual medals.
I got to bring this up. You take a look at the names back then, and let's talk about dressage and think. This is 1994. Quick math. That's what, 23 years ago. Let me tell you the names. Anki van Grunsven, sound familiar? Isabel Wirth, sound familiar? I mean, we're still seeing the same people.
Yeah, you know, I was, I was actually, that was definitely something I was going to bring up too. You're seeing Isabel now, but you're not seeing Anki as much these days, and you know, in the Olympics and stuff like that. But Isabel, I think you sort of started to be invisible there for a while. But yes, I mean, you're talking about the winner from last year's Olympic Games. And those names are names in back in those days. They were in everything. They were in every Olympics. They were in every World Crossing Games. They were in every, you know, any kind of world championship. It was Anki against Isabel. And one year Anki would win. The next year Isabel would win. The next competition, they changed places again. And Olympic Bonfire was Anki's horse. And Gigolo's were, at that point, was Isabel's horse. And both the horses and the riders were right there and talked about. And that was in dressage. And, you know, you look back at how we did in eventing. Again, New Zealand was at the top. Those days, that's the New Zealanders were the ones that were winning all of the eventing things. And actually, we weren't doing too bad back then in eventing. We've had a little bit of a dry – we had a dry spell after that. But Dorothy Trapp was from the USA, and she won silver individually in the eventing. And you know, we didn't get anything in the team eventing at that point. But again, when I talked about 1990, again, gold medalist was Valerie Canary. So, you know, we were Valerie then. That was a name you couldn't, you didn't not hear anymore. Valerie was winning everything. So that was kind of a boon for us. And in vaulting, we had two really top names. Kareth Lemon, if you can remember back then, Kareth's name was Kareth, and the male rider, too, the male vaulter at that point. I forget what his name was, but back that
Thomas
time, those
Fisk,
they were
Fisk
the
back. Or are you thinking American?
No, the U. I'm thinking America. I know. I can find Devin Maiatozo. You know, he was not winning, you know, in the vaulting in 1994, but he started in the next year. But Kareth was like our superstar. I mean, she was competing everywhere, and you see her now, you know, teaching the vaulting riders. I think for those of us that were covering these games, you know, you notice that I'm not just mentioning show jumping, dressage, and eventing,
right.
Because that's what the World Equestrian Games did. It opened the door. It opened the window to these other sports for us. And I'd seen very little of vaulting and seen very little endurance and stuff, and really fell in love with them because of the World Equestrian Games and because how well we were doing.
I think and then one Samantha other... and I would agree with you on that, having covered the 2010 games, right? Samantha, we didn't know anything about some of these disciplines.
Yep.
Yeah. And ended up covering them all. I'm looking at driving here, Diana. Michael Freund, George Bowman, and Isbrand Chardin are all still at the top of driving 23 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it doesn't change much in the driving world. Driving is a hugely expensive sport. And so you have Chester Weber. I mean, those names, you're exactly right. We are hearing the same, a lot of the same names. Because thank goodness they've stuck to it and are not giving other people a chance to
right.
take them over. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are certainly at their best. And, you know, in that point, too, you know, we had the U.S. team was earned the dressage team earned bronze with Catherine Rain, Robert Dover, Carol Rockwell, and Carol Lavelle. And Carol Lavelle just sticks in my mind. I loved her horse. She was riding a horse named Gifted. Mm-hmm. And that there was another one that anybody in the United States at that time just, you know, just fell in love with this horse. And it was so excited when they won the bronze medal that year.
I remember watching as an English girl. I remember watching, remembering Gifted. So it wasn't just Americans.
Yeah.
Well, no, yes, exactly. But the British were doing, I don't remember if they were doing, the British did the bronze in eventing. And they, you know, usually the British are now, of course, the British are doing everything in dressage, you know.
And eventing.
With their,
yes,
and eventing,
well,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've always done pretty well in eventing. I mean, they took the gold in 1994 with the team of Karen Dixon, Mary Thompson, Charlotte Bath, and Christine Gifford. So they're known for, that's without a doubt, they're known for their eventing, and Karen Dixon won the bronze that year, too.
I think Samantha,
yeah, you may be ahead of us.
Were you in Pony Club at that point, Samantha?
I might have been out of Pony Club.
All right, let's head now, Diana. Let's see if it got any better. I know logistics in The Hague were a nightmare, and you probably didn't eat for 16 days because you couldn't get any food. So let's let's head. The next one was to be in Ireland.
Yeah, and actually, I had been hired by Ireland. Actually, a lot of people. I'm imagining some of your listeners, too, will know the name Michael Stone.
Yeah.
And Michael, because Michael works, he's going to be involved with Tryon, obviously, because he works with that whole group. And I met Michael because I'd been hired by Ireland to be their U.S. press liaison for that event. And so I went over to Ireland and met with Michael in person and fell in love with this man. He is the sweetest, nicest, kindest person. And just has such an easy demeanor. And so I was all prepped to do Ireland. And then when Ireland pulled out, it ended up that I went and worked with Italy. In my college years, I actually was a language major and majored in Italian and lived in Italy for a year. So it was a good, it was a good blend for me to actually be involved with that. I was doing translating and stuff. And these days, I don't know how well I could do because I don't use my language as much. But that was fun to kind of go back to Rome. And,
why did Ireland pull out? Was it the same kind of Canada situation that we have now?
Yeah. Things that were promised weren't coming through, and you just couldn't get it together at the last minute. The same concept that what happened for Ireland. It's a shame that that's happened. The second time that this is happening, it's a shame that happens because it's very difficult. But, the bottom line is that they had 1 year and it was an enormous success. And you think about the fact that the Hague had, and Netherlands had 4 years, and Rome did a way better job, despite the fact that they did have to deal with some weather issues. There was some pouring rain at some of their events. Driving, I remember, oh my gosh, watching these drivers going, and it was pouring rain and stuff. But they did a phenomenal job. And I think for me, the beauty of Rome was you're in Rome. The Colosseo, there are so many different, the catacombs, there's so many different things that you can visit beyond horses in Rome. And I used to walk back and forth to the venue every day there because we were staying at a place nearby. And, you could pass by all these pastry shops. And that to me is my fondest memory of Rome, is just being right there in the heart of the city and a wonderful place. But that year.
So they pulled it off then, Rome, in a year, got it together.
Unbelievably well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually did an advance event here with Monreef, which is one of the sponsors. And they came to the United States and did a whole big, pitch to the media and everything. And brought their entourage and opera singers and stuff like that. That was kind of neat as well.
And did you eat pasta for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Have you ever been to Italy?
No, I have not.
Yes.
I was just kidding.
Because it's not pasta.
I know.
Totally different. Yeah, I know that. And but it's so funny, because you go to this country, you go to China thinking it's going to be like the Chinese food here, and you go to Italy and think it's the pizza is going to be like the pizza here, and it's nothing like what we have. So, but yeah, you do get pasta and you do get pizza. And, but I actually love, in these countries, I love going to get the cheeses. They have the bakeries where you can get all this fresh stuff, and even their pastries. Oh my gosh. That's what what I miss more than anything.
And was Michael Stone? Oh, sorry.
Go on. Go ahead. No, Michael Stone. Go ahead.
Was he involved with the Rome, or was he just involved with the Ireland one that didn't work, or did he help pull it off year in Rome?
Yeah. Just in Ireland, they took it over in Rome, and really, it's Lucia Monterano. I not saying that correct, but she was kind of the head there, and she did, she really helped organize the media and everything unbelievably well. They No, they did it themselves. But there were some upsets that year. Brazil was over the top when Rodrigo Pessoa, who was at 25, only 25 at that time, won the individual gold medal in show jumping. And that was a total surprise, you know, because Germany had been the ones that were sort of reigning for how many years and everything in show jumping, what have you. So, but I remember the cheers in the stands from the Brazilians. They are so supportive of their successes for Rodrigo. I mean, that was just so fun to watch that, I mean, to see that excitement. So it's kind of nice to see a different country, you know, winning.
Yeah.
And also that was the first time that Spain fielded a team. And that was when Blythe Tate in eventing, he repeated it. It was on a different horse this time. He was on Ready Teddy. That was a hugely known horse at the time too. I mean, Ready Teddy was much, much loved. But he, you know, he continued on and to get those New Zealanders at the top.
And Mark Todd was number two. So we had Blythe Tate and Mark Todd back to back there. And he was on Broadcast News, which is a horse that some people will remember as well.
Mark to me is charisma. I mean, I just remember him at the Olympics, that horse. Oh gosh. I wish that I could be back there watching him compete again. I mean, he and that horse were just unbelievable. So Mark is somebody, I mean, that was my first Olympic Games actually, you know, getting introduced to Mark. So that was back in 1988. I shouldn't tell my how old I am, right? But Mark Todd was the man, and to see him back again after so many years, you know, recently he's been back in the irons again, but a phenomenal rider. Yeah, Mark Todd was definitely out there.
Samantha, you're looking at that list there from, now from 1998 is what we're talking about. Is there anybody that jumps out at you that you watched or?
Yeah, I mean, they're all still eventing. Mark Todd will be in. I would be surprised if he's not a try-on next year. He just finished two in the top 10 at badminton.
Yeah.
Blythe Tate was at badminton.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Blythe.
We just, you know, Rodrigo Pessoa will be coaching the Brazilian team.
Yes.
I think it's really interesting.
It's funny.
Yeah, he was not competing. But this was also the first time that endurance was not held in Italy. It was held in Dubai, and Valerie Kennedy, who won it again. But, you know,
I know for
those of us that were there, it was a disappointment. Of course, we'd like to have all the events in the USA won silver that year, but no, it was not held in Rome. So, yeah. And for vaulting, Kareth Lemon was silver medalist. Devin Maiatozzo was gold. We won, the U.S. team won the bronze medal. So we did pretty well, in the different sports there. But with our British victories,
I got to throw in here a name, too, that jumps out to me, especially right this week as we're recording, is Nick Skelton was riding and he on the British team at that point and jumping, and they came in third, and he just in front of the Queen retired over the weekend. So there you go.
So,
but if you looked at the 1990 British show jumping team, it was Nick Skelton, Michael Whittaker, John Whittaker, David Broome. But like, that's three of London 2012 team.
Yeah, that's right.
They're all still jumping.
yeah, that's exactly.
That's one thing our sport has over other sports is you can last a while. You can hang around for a longer, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let's do this.
And Nick, I think he's done it all, right? So,
yeah.
With the Olympics.
Well, he deserved a nice retirement. We're going to take a break for Kentucky Performance Products. We're going to come back and we're going to continue through our look at history of the WEGs. And I think next we're going to be heading to Spain. So we'll be right back.
Yeah.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Electrolytes. Who needs them? Your horse, that's who. Electrolytes perform critical functions within your horse's body. They help regulate nerve and muscle functions by carrying electrical impulses between cells. In addition, electrolytes assist the body in maintaining a healthy fluid balance by controlling your horse's desire to drink. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Top riders and veterinarians turn to Summer Games Electrolyte to keep their horse healthy in hot weather, and you can too. Summer Games replenishes the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when your horse sweats, and it stimulates the thirst response so your horse continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. So when the going gets hot, trust Summer Games Electrolyte from Kentucky Performance Products to protect your horse.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
The last leg up, Peter Charles legging up Dermot Lennon on Utfors Minter. Now, Utfors Minter at the moment has had one fence down for the three previous riders, including his devoted owner, Helena Lundback. Home straight. One left. If he jumps this, he wins the individual world title, and he does. Up goes Tommy Wade's hand. Congratulated there by Olaf Peterson, the technical delegate. And even Dermot Lennon has a smile and a wave of an arm. And the crowd really appreciate the skills they've enjoyed from this man.
And let's get back to it. This is so much fun, Dana. I'm really enjoying this. And I think we were up to 2002, and that is the World Equestrian Games, which were held in Jerez de la Frontera, Spain. But do we just say Jerez?
Yeah, Jerez. You know, that's, you know, I have a different memory of Spain. That was the year that my computer died.
Oh, the worst nightmare of any journalist.
Right.
Could you imagine a computer? Yeah. I had to get my brother to send me a computer. And in the meantime, the wonderful people in the press center loaned me their computers to use. But can you imagine trying to get the job done with having to borrow computers in between when they can, you know, when they can offer them to you? And I remember also that Mary Phelps of Horses Daily was there that year. And she, I remember her saying to me, "I will never do this again. It's too difficult." And it's true. It's extremely difficult to do those. And Jerez was when reigning was added. And so, you know, for the United States, that was a real boon because we immediately started to get gold medals. I mean, we got, we were actually, Sean Florida on Sanjo Freckles was the gold individually. And, you know, we won the, you know, you can't beat us in reigning for the team. And the names, too, if you are familiar with the names, Tom McCutcheon, Scott McCutcheon, Sean Florida, and Craig Schmerzel, those names are still out there now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're still the big names. Yeah.
unbelievable. You know
Go ahead. I was just going to say what struck me, too, that year was the shakeup in dressage. You know, the top three were not names that we've been talking about before. So
Exactly. Yeah.
We had go ahead.
A new name, Germany, for the individual, Nadine Krappelman. But Spain, I remember, you know, you're in Spain now. You're at a World Equestrian Games in Spain. And Beatrice Salat wins the silver medal. The roar from the stands having their person win a silver medal was so heartwarming. I mean, I was thrilled that they did that. You know, and they have a tough time. Back then, they were having a tough time because their horses are, you know, they're automatically Piaf and Passage horses. The knee action is just very animated. And so it was kind of new for the judges and stuff to have the, you know, those horses involved in this, and their extensions are, not as good because they're more of the high in the action rather than the long action. But still, I mean, I was so psyched when they did that. And we won the silver medal that year. Our team, the U.S. team of Debbie McDonald. Now, who doesn't know Debbie McDonald, right? And Debbie's not competing anymore, but she was out there this year watching Laura Graves, you know, in the competition, and our team won the bronze medal in the Olympics. But Lisa Wilcox, Susan Blinks, and Gunter Seidel. I miss Gunter being competing. You don't see him as much these years. He's such a wonderful, kind rider. So that, you know, anytime Gunter's on the team, I love seeing that. Eventing, we won the gold that year. So,
wow, just my big memory.
Yeah. I want to bask in that because I remember David O'Connor. You know, I mean, David. Doesn't happen very often. Okay, I admit that. Doesn't happen very often to us, but David O'Connor, I have memories of him, not just there, but at an Olympics game. He always has his American flag, which I love that he, you know, pulls out that American flag and shows it off. And but the team was John Williams, Kimberly Vanofsky, and Amy Tryon, who later passed away. But it was such a thrill for us to kind of be back up there again. I know, I hear you. You know, we could use a little help in the eventing department.
Wait, Great Britain, though.
And then
we were looking back at they just had Chatsworth this last weekend, and it's all live streamed now thanks to Event Riders Masters. I don't know if anyone watched that, and the equa ratings is amazing, all the stats they come up with. And going back, Kimberly Vanofsky on Winston Medanti, who is now Kim Severson, her records back then on Winston Medanti are amazing. Like three times in a row, she was the only one to make the time or the fastest woman around Chatsworth. And here she is again, getting the gold team medal at WEG. And then, of course, she's the only woman to win three times Rolex Kentucky. And she's still riding. We still have her. She might be your best hope.
Well, if you're looking at the British team, you didn't.
She has that lovely horse that might well be at trial next year at the WEG. That lovely Cooley horse.
And Great Britain was sitting with names like Pippa Funnel, William Fox Pitt, Leslie Law. First time we're seeing those names kind of pop into this WEG lineup. They came in third that year, so we're starting to see the other names pop in. We're talking about 2002 in Spain, and you know, this is also
we
the
did
first
well in jumping.
Yeah, and before we get to that, I was looking at endurance, and this is the first time I'm seeing United Arab Emirates pop in. I'm seeing one of the Arab countries pop into endurance.
Yeah, that was actually a definite point that needs to be made because they really have, you know, over the years, I mean, they've had their issues, as we know, with endurance, but they have just, you know, sort of wrapped their arms around endurance and are determined to kind of win every event that they enter, no matter what it takes. But you're right. They were definitely there that year. In endurance, and it was their sort of debut, and His Royal Highness Maktoum Ahmed bin Maud, I can never pronounce the name, Maktoum.
We call him
was the
we just call him Sheikh Mohammed. So
okay, Sheikh Mohammed, good. And he was the winner of the gold, the individual gold medal that year. And in endurance, it was actually France that won the gold. They didn't do as well. He was the one. He was the shining star. But you know, that was also a great year in jumping for us. In that Peter Wilde, you remember Fane Sarah, that mare that just was just so special. I mean, she surprised you with her abilities. And it was written by Peter Wilde, and Peter got a bronze medal that year. I remember not totally expecting that to be the end all of what was going to happen that year. But it was super special seeing that. The other thing I remember about Jerez is, you know, we went to some outside events, and there's, you know, their dancing and their colors, and they're so into the colorful music and different things there. So we had a chance to do some checking out, you know, we were invited to some functions where we could really join in, and ones that play the guitar and sing to you and stuff like that. So it was a fun kind of way, a side thing to be in Spain and have that chance. Because at other World Christian Games, I really haven't had that many press trips that take you to enjoy some of the culture and the food and things like that. But I really enjoyed that year. And, you know, I remember walking through the streets too, because it's a very mixed area that we were in, and seeing all that and seeing the people and being part of that country was really fun. But, you know, something to remember about Jerez, there were some concerns, because if you remember in 2001, foot and mouth disease came out in Europe. Mm. And so there was some scare that the games would not go on, you know, that it may have to be canceled and stuff, because that was huge. It was a huge problem. But all went well. We were there, and both of our countries, Great Britain.
That was a big problem in England. You were living in England then, Samantha?
Yeah.
I remember that was big news over here. You had lost a lot of cattle and all that stuff. It was just bad.
It was hugely bad. You know, mad cattle disease and stuff. But both our countries did pretty decent.
Equestrians at every level aspire to create the ultimate harmony between horse and rider, and Bates Saddles are here to help you achieve that harmony. That's why Bates offer highly specialized saddles for every discipline, engineered to bring out the best in you and your horse. The Bates dressage range will raise your expectations forever. Beneath the traditional lines and elegant appearance, the Bates dressage saddles deliver modern innovations for horse comfort and performance. The new Bates Dressage Plus and Bates Mono Plus feature luxurious, grippy, double-lined leather and adjustable ergonomic stirrup bars for effortless rider alignment and increased support of your optimal dressage position. The time-tested Bates Isabel continues to give riders a unique deep seat, sitting you in a central and balanced position. In addition to the Care Cushion System, an easy change fit solution found throughout the Bates range of saddles. Revolutionize your riding experience and fulfill your true potential in Bates Dressage Saddles. For more information, visit BatesSaddles.com. That's Bates, B-A-T-E-S, Saddles.com.
So in the Western Riders equivalent of dressage, it was a two-horse and rider race for gold. America's Tim McQuay and Canada's Dwayne Latimer both achieved a rare high score of 230. Tied in first place, they had to ride off against one another. First in was Tim McQuay. He started well, his horse Mr. Nickajewel looking relaxed and focused. An unwanted change of leg meant he'd thrown away his chance to stand on top of the podium. A score of 226. He knew it was unlikely to be enough. The marks for the ride-off were just two lower than for his first run. Dwayne Latimer and Hang Ten Surprise were the new world champions.
All right, let's go and move along. So we are moving along now to, in 2006, to Aachen, Germany.
Aachen was, it just made sense, you know, to have it in Aachen, because they had their championships every year in Aachen. So they're already set up. It was kind of the first year that things were sort of held at kind of, not quite, but all one venue. I mean, you could kind of walk around the venue and get to pretty much everything. I remember I was staying in town and could walk part of the way there or take a cab in. And when you get on the property, you could kind of see where the cross country was going to take place and the driving was going to take place. So, but Aachen is Aachen. It's Germany. It's a place that already does all of this, already has this event every every year, showcasing the different disciplines. So it just made sense to have it there. And their Olympic Stadium is incredible. I mean,
Had you been to Aachen before, or was that your first visit for the WEG?
I actually had because I was working with the German Tourist Board at the time, and they sent me over earlier to do some stories. And so I'd had a chance to go to an Aachen before doing the World Equestrian Games. So it was good for me to have done that because I got a feel for what the venue was like and how to get there and all of that type of stuff. So yeah, I was definitely beforehand, and I knew that we were in good hands. I think the favorite place in Aachen for everyone though is they have like these beer setups that you can go to, and in their trade fair they have all these places that you can have a toast with your friends, and there's a lot that went on in different countries, for the Olympics in Great Britain and stuff. I mean, it goes on everywhere, but there it was so close. You could just kind of walk right to it and see all these people just having a good time. And the trade fair was packed. And, this country supports any of these kind of sports. So that was, well, and, there now you start seeing BZ Madden and, the team of riders that we've kind of got now, McLean Ward, Laura Kraut. Back then it was Margie Engel. And we were, BC got the silver medal that year, and the U.S. team was also had the silver medal. And that's when I think BZ and McLean started to be, the sort of the combination. I think now it leans towards McLean, BZ, and Ken Farrington, that, they're the go-to for the United States. But that's when I think BZ and McLean really started to get recognized. I mean, no slouch in Laura Kraut. I mean, she certainly is top of the line as well. And Margie Engel has done a lot. The German team won third that year in show jumping. So that was kind of, we're starting to get a mixed bag. But, when you look at dressage, who do you think? Isabel Wirth on top and Anki van Grudzwan second.
Those two have been going at it for years.
Yeah. Going back to the jumping, though, wasn't Sapphire only retired last year? I mean, that's incredible, 10 years.
Was it last year or the year before? Because he's been riding HH Azure for a while now, so I don't know, but Sapphire was...
She was amazing.
Such a special horse. She was truly amazing. I think that...
And then Shutterfly as well. Meredith Michaels-Bierbaum.
Yeah, Shutterfly. I mean, she won the bronze medal. And that horse, oh, gosh, for Germany. And a U.S. rider, now German, for riding for Germany. But with McLean, Sapphire was so consistent. But I think that his present horse, HH Azure, has got more power. And if you watch them at the World, the World Cup, oh, my gosh. I've never seen McLean happier. So, if he keeps going with that horse, there's a difference between indoor and outdoor. But certainly he's got some real power behind him. He's never won an Olympic Games or a World Equestrian Games. So I'm looking for the day that will happen as an individual anyway. But there, so we got Isabel, and eventing it was Great Britain, Zara.
Yeah.
So Samantha, that was your year, right?
Individual gold, yeah, and team silver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. you're going to get some points here. And Amy Tryon was there again. And we get Germany, though, again, was really at the top for the... for both the individual and the team in the Netherlands. Back then, too, it was pretty much Germany and the Netherlands. Because we're talking Anki and Isabel. But we won the bronze, thank goodness. That was with Leslie Morris and Gunter Seidel, my favorite. And actually, my real favorite, Stefan Peters. I love Stefan. And Debbie McDonald. And when I look back at my pictures, I have a picture of Stefan passing in front of the, because I had to go back in time to look at some of my pictures to remember these events. And I've got this picture of him, the horse's feet are all off the ground. And right behind his head is the American flag, because someone in the stands was holding the American flag. And I captured this picture right at that moment. It is one of my most special pictures. So it's one that I could send to you, Glenn, if you want to post it on your site.
Yes, could you do that? Send me that picture and we'll use it as our show notes picture. That'll be fun. Yeah, definitely do that.
Yeah, it's a really cool picture. And, you know, I mean, Stefan has always got that same sort of way that he rides, that demeanor and stuff. And he was just so proud, big smile on his face and such. But anyway, we did well. And driving was Germany. I mean, you talk about, that's the team, Freund, Sandman, or two semi-familiar names, but Rainer Dwen was kind of a new name. Belgium and the Netherlands got, the Netherlands did bronze. Now that's, you know, Yves Bronstradon is the name that you usually hear.
Yeah.
We didn't really, for endurance, we weren't really up there at all. I mean, we didn't, that was a,
well, Spain, yeah. Spain has always done very well in endurance, too. They're known as an endurance country, so they've always done pretty well in endurance. And then when I'm looking down, too, the big upset that year was Dwayne Latimer in reigning, taking the individual for Canada and knocking the United States out of the individual slot. Now, the United States still took it for the team, but it was Canada coming in number two there, which was an upset that year.
Total.
Yep.
So total. And then McQuaido did get this over, and Rolston got the bronze. We still could rack up some points. We just didn't get the individual gold. We got the team gold.
Yep.
It was Italy.
Italy always does.
We start to see Italy.
Yep. And, you know, they're really big into reining now. Even in, and also in Switzerland and Sweden and countries like that, they love reining. Well, in an effort to keep things moving along, we're going to leave Aachen. And that's another point, by the way, for the United States. I'll just put that in there. And we won't tell you what the...
But you should just, before we leave, just mention that Megan Benjamin came up that year and won the gold for the United States.
Oh, yes.
So that was, you know, for vaulting. So that was kind of a cool thing.
We covered Megan, right, Samantha, for 2010?
Yeah, we spoke to her. She was great.
She was terrific.
And we won the silver medal team. The U.S. won the silver medal team. So... that's
and Kai
something that
Vorberg,
should be remembered.
Who was the German coach back then, or who was the German silver medalist for men's back in 2006, was the coach for the American team in 2010. So it's funny how things come around, you know? So,
yeah.
All right. Well, now let's go up to this one. Actually, Samantha and I know a lot about we covered it for 2 years and did about several hundred episodes on this particular event. So now I think most of our listeners are going to be familiar with the 2010 World Equestrian Games in Lexington. So let's take a little bit different look at the next two. In your mind, how did Lexington stack up to the others as far as the organization and the running and the event itself?
I really liked Lexington. You know, there's so many different views out there. But I liked it because it was very much... everything was in one place and I was familiar. So it made it easier for me. I think the thing that disappointed me the most was the accommodations for the media. I mean, I was like an hour away and had to shuttle in, you know, when I'd been so close so many years before just to go to Rolex. So that for me was an issue, but just being familiar with the venue and kind of having everything close together other than the endurance, you know, covered, you had to kind of go out beyond, but I loved it. But some of the things that need to be mentioned about this is that it was the first time it was held outside of Europe. It was the first time eight championships were held at one location and the first time that it had a title sponsor.
Wait, weren't they held? What about Aachen?
I think endurance was off site, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that.
No, then, and Endurance. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Endurance was offsite.
Endurance is always kind of offsite when you think about it. They're riding 100 miles.
Yeah, well, part of it is always even in Kentucky, you know, part of it. It started and ended.
I mean, if it's 100 miles,
with,
Samantha, do you remember seeing him leave at 1,000 miles an hour out the gate? And then we were like, oh, well, that 2 minutes is over. I was like, we can't see him anymore. They're gone. Yeah.
So, I mean, keep in mind that Para also was introduced at Kentucky.
Oh, so was that? Okay. That was the first year for Para. I thought that's interesting. Yeah.
So,
The first time you're Para Dressage.
And it sounds like Kentucky and Arkin would be the most two similar compact sites.
Yes.
How would they compare to each other, do you think?
I think that Kentucky has more room, it's more open. Arkin, I love Arkin. But I felt, except for their Olympic arena, I felt more compacted there than I did in Kentucky. In a way, that tightness was sometimes better, you know. But there's a sort of a openness or that you feel with Kentucky that I kind of like. So I like them both in different ways. Let's put it that way.
Let's.
The one problem we had in Kentucky was that I missed some of the – I've never missed getting the awards shots, but I missed – I think it was raining because – or driving. One of those I missed because they were happening at the same time. And then if you're a journalist covering everything, you do not want to miss a medal ceremony. And so that was a disappointment in Kentucky. But –
Man, it took forever to get from one point to another. I remember walking, we walked from Endurance down to Reining, which anybody who knows that park knows it's about 12 miles. At least it seems like that when you're walking.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. So it seems like that when you're walking, you know, it just seemed to take forever to get back between the two. Very good. Well, and
Altec Arena.
Yeah.
Altec Arena was just built for that event.
That's right.
It was just built for that. That was the first time the Altec Arena debuted.
In time for that event. It was. All right. And in an effort to make sure we get it all in today, I'm going to ask you the same thing about France. So, you know, we all lived through that. And I think that our listeners will know what happened in France. But from your point of view, how was the event itself?
I think you always get really good competition at these, you know, at the games and stuff. what I liked about France, I tend to be very positive about these things, even though some of them are not run well. Because to me, being in another country, you know, living with so many different people from all around the world, and in France, I was living at the Hotel de France, and I was able to walk to the bus stop and take a bus right over. But and certain things I could actually walk to them, but there were nightmare issues with the shuttle service, you know, trying to get I remember trying to get to the driving from what was running at the same time in another venue, and was trying to get to, oh my gosh, and a lot of unhappiness in Normandy. But, you know, I also partially speak a little French, so I was just happy to be in France.
I heard food. So remember seeing the lines for the food were like 12 miles long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything. You know, you'd wait for a bus and it would never come. And you'd stop, knock on another bus's door and say, how else can I get there? And, you know, it's just, there was a lot of nightmare situations. But, you know, it's just such a phenomenal opportunity to be in, you know, you sort of, to me, that's the story. It gives you the story when all these strange things happen, you know, that you can write about. But there were a lot of unhappy journalists, I would have to say, at Normandy. And there were things that were just a disaster. But, you know, we at the hotel that we were at, I actually was there. My friend Darlene Ricker and I were staying together there, and they had the best breakfast as part of, you know, their stay there. And every morning we'd get this machine that would do the hot chocolate and the cheese and the yogurt. And so we would head out, you know, very happy.
That's
campers.
Good. It's the only food you got all day. So.
I know. We knew. I know. I hate to admit it, but there were a few little things that I put in my backpack knowing that. But, you know, we were just sort of happy.
Well, Diane, this has been fun. But as your last final thought here, what do you think, seeing you've covered them all now, what do you think going into Tryon?
Before, I mean, I was working in Florida this winter for the International Polo Club. So on my way, and obviously that's run by the Bellissimos, and who are also the ones doing Tryon World Equestrian Games. And so on my way, I made the decision to stop at Tryon because I'd never been there, and I've heard fantastic things about it. And when I was there, I was very impressed. The place is... Here's going to be another venue where everything will be held at the same place. When I was there, I saw the different things. They're going to be building a temporary Olympic stadium that's going to be going up. The machines were out there doing the cross-country course and the driving course. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a phenomenal event. I think the biggest issue is going to be where you're going to stay. I know that they're planning to build some hotels and stuff, but I believe that all of that stuff is going to be more for the staff and the people that are being hired and things like that. So for the rest of us, I don't know what the answer is going to be just yet. I think it's too early to know that answer. But I think the competition and the setup is going to be phenomenal. And I also think they are putting their heart and soul into doing a good job. And as you know, Michael Stone is going to finally have his chance to get his hand in a World Equestrian Games to the end, because he's right there right at the top of that setup. So I think it's going to be good. I just, you know, my questions, like all of it, I hate having to shuttle hours away and having to spend, you know, an hour going and an hour coming as part of my day when the days are so long as it is. So I'm hoping that somehow is addressed.
Samantha and I are going to rent a camper and sleep under an underpass nearby. We decided.
Oh, okay.
We're just going to pull over and park like 2 minutes away.
Okay.
And see till they kick us out. Okay. So thank you,
put
Diana.
A trailer behind it, and I'll.
Okay. We'll put a little camper behind it.
I'll camp in with you.
That's it. We'll have the equestrian journalist campground, and we'll all just descend on somebody's yard, and do it that way.
Yeah.
Well, Diana, this has been great. What's your website? Where can people find you?
DianaDeRosa.com is where my photos are, and you can track down some of my World Equestrian Games, my Olympic, and other photos, but not everything, but I do have a lot up there.
Diana, this has been terrific. Thank you so much for giving us a little tour of the World Equestrian Games.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you.
Yeah,
Diana.
Thank you for inviting me. I love talking about my travels. So thank you very much for inviting me.
Another long, tough fly season is right around the corner. And the only choice for this fly season are the Amigo range of fly sheets, because they're built tough and feature the latest in design comfort, bug-busting technology, and sun-protecting fabrics. And the Amigo range has a fly sheet for every budget, from the Amigo Bug Buster Vamoose with no fly zone to the Amigo Bug Rug Fly Sheet. Find Amigo fly sheets at your local or online retailer, or you can visit horseware.com. That's horseware, horseware.com.
Well, Diana is terrific. She's been on our shows over the years, on all different shows here on the network, and she's so passionate about what she does and just loves this sport. She's the president of the American Horse Publications, and because she loves being a journalist and she loves the sport that we love as well. So thank you so much.
She had such a great memory. We could have talked forever.
I know. I wish I'd broken this up. And we'll have her back, and maybe what we'll do is, as we cover the individual sports and segments, we can have her back to talk a little bit about the history and we'll do a little history segment on the individual sports, and she can talk about the players. Obviously, she remembers everybody, so, and she has pictures of them all.
That's brilliant. Well, that was really interesting. I really enjoyed that.
We hope you did too. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. The WEG show is put out the 15th and the 30th of every month, and all the way up until the World Equestrian Games, when Samantha and I will be doing daily shows. And I hope they go through with putting in a radio studio.
Wouldn't that be nice? We're not an hour away.
No. Yeah. I said, wouldn't that be nice if they put in a studio for us, that we could just sleep there? Just put a mattress on the floor. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Don't tell them that yet.
We appreciate you joining us. And there are a whole bunch of other shows on the network. Just go to horseradionetwork.com. There's 13 other shows. And you'll also find us on our own app, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network. It's free, and it's the simplest way to listen to all the episodes of all the shows. And remember, only 480 days to the 2018 World Equestrian Games.